Radio.
A place for faith in politics. An interview with Roy Williams. Thank you for joining me today, Roy Williams.
Pleasure, Luke.
Now, of course, Tony Abbott was recently elected as the 28th Prime Minister of Australia, and much has been made about his faith in the past, as he is a Catholic, and particularly when he was opposed to the abortion drug RU486 back when he was Health Minister in 2006. But in this latest election, very little has been said about the new Prime Minister's faith, at least in comparison to the past. Can you describe how he has approached religion in his life as a politician?
Sure, Luke. I think it's fair to say that in recent times he has not exactly run away from it, but toned down substantially his references to religion and really gone out of his way, I guess, to reassure the electorate, the broader electorate, which isn't on the whole religious, that he understands the doctrine of the separation of church and state, and he isn't some mad monk in the pejorative terms that have been used about him, unfairly, by and large, in my opinion. Certainly in the earlier stages of his career, he aligned himself very closely with the church. I mean, his mentor was B.A. Santa Maria. He described Santa Maria in 1998 as the greatest living Australian and had been close to Santa Maria for 20 years. So when at Sydney University, Abbott was the head of the DLP club, and until he turned roughly 30, after spending 4 years in the seminary, he was still undecided about which political party to join. His roots were really in the DLP, and he was very close to joining the right of the New South Wales Labor Party. That didn't happen in the end, but it just shows that at that stage of his career, his Catholicism really was very important in terms of his political identity. But he ultimately joined the Liberal Party, which in those days was not certainly not a traditional home for a devout Catholic. Historically, the coalition parties had been Protestant. Sir Robert Menzies set up the Liberal Party in 1944, very much as the bastion of the established mainstream Protestant churches in Australia. And of course, before that, we'd had 50 or 60 years of quite divisive sectarianism running through the history of our country, which lasted at least until the 1970s, and some would argue beyond. So that's really the historical background against which Tony Abbott's achievement of becoming Prime Minister on the coalition side is to be understood. He's the first ever Catholic from the Liberal Party, and that is a great achievement. But I think to get there in recent years, he has had to distance himself somewhat from his religious roots.
Can you explain that more a little bit? Is there a reason why he would have done that? And are you able to give some examples of how he has distanced himself, as you've said?
Sure. Well, for a start, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview RU486. Now, it's true that he did oppose the introduction of that particular drug, but he was also on record at the time and since as saying that he was in no way advocating the recriminalisation of abortion. He's made that very, very clear, and indeed he has his critics, some severe critics, within the church and certainly from the more strict side of the Catholic right, so to speak, about his stance on that very issue and other related issues. He went against the Vatican's teachings on the Iraq War. The Vatican was opposed to the whole thing from first to last. And he certainly hasn't followed the Vatican's teachings on issues like asylum seekers and climate change. So the idea that you can paint Tony Abbott as some kind of stooge of the Catholic Church, you know, the traditional complaint made by bigots against all Catholic politicians is simply not on. More recently, to give another example, I mean, his proposal for the paid parental leave scheme has been opposed heavily within the coalition, not just by big business, but by conservatives on the Catholic side. So there's all kinds of examples where his political stances, you know, are not in line with the churches, both to the left and the right.
Would you say, though, although he has distanced himself in some way over the past years, would you say that his faith has influenced his policy direction and his political opinions?
Look, first of all, let me make this absolutely clear. I don't doubt for a minute Tony Abbott's belief in Jesus Christ, the absolute guts of the Christian faith. I've got no doubt about that. I mean, he's been a practicing Catholic virtually all his life, and some of his closest friends are Catholic priests, and I know he's close to Cardinal Pell. But if you're asking me, you know, do his policy positions reflect Catholic teaching, I'd have to say, and admittedly I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, but I would have to say that from what I know about the Vatican's pronouncements on a whole range of issues in the last 10 or 15 years, and I've given some examples, Tony Abbott simply hasn't adhered to them. What he has adhered to is the broad consensus on the centre-right of politics in Australia and across the West on a whole range of issues, from economics to war and peace to refugees and so forth. That's his true identity now, not as a Catholic DLP type warrior. He seems to have embraced neoliberal economics, although he's probably less extreme, I think, than many of his colleagues in that regard. I mean, he opposed work choices, for example, as a minister in the Howard government. So there's still probably something of the Catholic social justice strain living in his breast, although, again, in print, he has expressly said that he is suspicious of anyone, including priests, who invoke that term in trying to argue policy. And indeed, I don't know if you saw it, Luke, but he gave a quite extraordinary interview to Annabel Crabb in the week before the election, where I don't think it's saying too much to say that he really did appear to be running a million miles from the idea that faith should play a significant role in politics in terms of the positions one adopts as an elected politician in a secular democracy like ours. He called it absurd, or he used some similar word, the notion, and because obviously people try to influence him. No doubt fellow Catholics try to influence him, and it seems that over the years he's more and more moved away from the idea that he ought to be influenced by the church.
I'm not sure if you'd be able to answer this, but would you be able to give some insight into why that is, perhaps? Is there any events within his political career that may have, say, for example, the RU486 saga, although, as you mentioned, it seems to be something that's been in his career that's influenced him in this way?
Yeah, look, I think it's just the iron law of electoral politics in Australia. Australia is not anymore, if it ever was, a serious majority Christian country. I mean, by and large, even many churchgoers are extremely suspicious of the idea of the church as playing any kind of active institutional role in our politics. The electorate at large is also not particularly open to rhetoric along religious lines. I mean, I think people are happy, perfectly comfortable with the idea that politicians are Christians, but they just don't want to see it. I'm speaking generally here. They don't like to see it too overt. John Howard made that point very strongly a number of times, and I think he was right. So I think I think probably it's fair to say Abbott learnt a lot from Howard in that regard, that it's important to not be too overt about these things. I mean, my personal view is that that's not the proper attitude for a committed Christian in politics, that one can't compartmentalise to that degree, and it's sad that Tony Abbott has run away from his faith to the extent he has. Maybe now he's safely elected with a big majority, he'll feel more comfortable in his own skin again. But I suspect he's really trying to work out in these early days where he wants to go, what persona he really wants to adopt. There's all kinds of conflicting pressures on him, and so it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I know as a Catholic and anybody of any faith would probably say that if they're really committed to their faith going into politics, they should really take that and, for want of a better term, wear their heart on their sleeve. But do you think today there is room for that? Or is it required that a politician kind of needs to hide the religious aspect of their lives from the voting public?
I think the difficulty is this, Luke. Christianity, properly understood, doesn't conform to any party political message. So on the one hand, people who believe strongly in social justice and the fairer distribution of wealth and, for example, compassionate treatment of refugees and so on, would find their place far more comfortably on the left of politics. On the other hand, Christians who believe strongly in the so-called social and moral issues, you know, the sanctity of life issues, traditional views about family and marriage and so on, are more likely to be found on the conservative side. So the whole package of Christian views simply does not sell well at elections. We politicians have to make a choice which side, if you want to get anywhere in politics, you've got to join either the Labor or the Liberal parties. And the overall platforms are going to be inimical in some major way or another to the overall Christian message. And that's why it becomes very problematic for any politician. They have to make compromises. They have to some extent, probably put their own personal beliefs to one side. It's just the nature of politics in Australia and the nature of Christianity. We've never really been governed, well, certainly not since, say, Joe Lyons in the 30s, by a leader who was to the left on issues of war and peace and economics, and to the right, well to the right on all the rest. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't sell. You get a few percent of the vote. That's how it works.
Yeah. Do you see this continuing in this trend towards the future?
Yes, I do, because the Labor Party, which of course traditionally was the party associated with the Catholic Church, has moved way to the left on the social and moral issues, away from the church's teachings, while still adhering, you know, in very loose terms to the social justice priorities. And the Liberal Party has moved progressively to the right since Menzies founded it on economic issues and the even more unequal distribution of wealth and the greater propensity to wage war, quite different to say, Lyons, who I say back in the 30s was this very strange beast. And it's interesting, in my book, In God They Trust, I nominate Lyons as a unique politician because, for a start, he didn't belong in either party. He had been the Labor Premier of Tasmania. His roots were in the Labor Party, but because of the crisis of the Depression, he was recruited by the Conservatives to form a new political party, the United Australia Party, and he led them to victory in three elections. The public loved him, but he became very unpopular within the Conservative, the rich power brokers of the UAP, because he was a near pacifist and really a believer in social justice. He had no real empathy with big business, but on the other hand, he was an arch conservative on issues like family and so forth. And there's really been no one like him. I mean, I make the case that in the modern era, Paul Keating sort of came the closest, but even he, you know, in that he was to the left economically, but still a reformer and a social conservative within the constraints of the ALP. But Keating was a very rare bird as well. I just don't see any evidence that the new generation of Labor leaders are going to be in the slightest like Keating, or that the new generation of Liberal leaders, including Abbott, obviously, but the younger people coming up behind him, are going to be anything other than servants of the global economy. And they'll do what they have to do to get elected. And all of that is just inimical to Christianity. The church can help just by arguing the toss on individual issues, because the churches still do have a big impact when they concentrate issue by issue, but they can build shifting coalitions. What would really help, and I make this argument too in the book, what would really help, in my opinion, to change Australian politics for the better would be if the two political parties, the major parties, loosened their rules about MPs having a conscience vote in Parliament. So in other words, if they didn't have to toe the party line on pain of expulsion from the party or, you know, being left out in the cold, which is the position now in both the ALP and the Liberal Party. It's institutionalised in the ALP, but it's the reality in the Liberal Party now. We saw what happened to the few dissidents in the Howard era. They were just frozen out. What that means is that I believe if MPs had a conscience vote on everything except sort of budget bills and, you know, the fate of the government, you would get what you get in the United States Congress. You would get shifting coalitions of MPs moving around depending on the particular issue, whether it be an issue of economics or war or a social issue. You would get significant defections from one side or the other, forming perhaps something closer to the genuine community consensus, which often isn't just rigidly party political. And I think on some issues, perhaps many, you get more of a broadly Christian consensus as well. At the moment, the political parties, the way they're structured, that just isn't feasible, because people cannot cross the floor, or they know their careers will be over. So, for example, I'm sure there were many in the coalition who, probably including Abbott, who, well, we know he had dire reservations about work choices, but he still voted for it. There must have been people. Well, I know there were people who had dire reservations about the Iraq war, but still voted for it. And similarly on the Labor side, there are any number of issues in that sort of category. There were many, obviously, had dire reservations about the so-called TNG solution, but they voted for it. So, you know, or supported it. I don't think it ever got to a vote, did it? But they're the sort of examples of issues that I'm talking about.
So I guess until there is a loosening of these strict party line, what should a committed Christian do to engage politically? Is it really just about being part of lobby groups or lobbying on individual issues, or can they try and get into a party and chip away that way? What's your advice?
Yeah, look, well, gee, I've never been in politics, and I know I wouldn't be effective in it, but I guess I would not discourage committed Christians from going into politics, whichever party it is. But they have to know that their principles are going to be compromised. They can join a party like the Christian Democrats, I suppose. But again, their record is pretty undistinguished. They've tried hard over the years, but have had minimal impact. My personal view is that it's actually the same as of all people, Mark Latham, that unless you are at the very top of a political party, you're not going to have much influence. And because executive power is concentrated even more nowadays, not just in the parliament, but in the few people who make up the inner workings the cabinet. On the other hand, on individual issues, as I said, the populace at large, relevant lobby groups, interest groups, can have a big effect. And that's where, in affecting public opinion, the one thing politicians will do is follow the polls. If polls can be changed on particular issues, the pollies will look at it. And I think that's where influence can be brought to bear. And that's how some of the great movements of history achieved their goal. The civil rights movement in the 60s. I mean, it didn't start with elected politicians. It started at the grassroots. And the churches and all people of faith can have an effect there.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me. That was a great discussion on a wide range of issues. It was good.
Thank you, Luke. I agree. It'll be fascinating to see what happens over the next year or so in the first stages of Tony Abbott's government. I hope he goes back to his Catholic roots, but I've got my doubts.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see what happens. But in the meantime, I pray that, committed Christians will put the hat into the ring and engage in politics in whatever way possible.
Yes, yes, indeed.
That was Roy Williams with A Place for Faith in Politics. Roy Williams' latest book, In God They Trust, is currently available from biblesociety.org.au. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.